You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is your daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, maybe not the most happy episode, but by the end of it, I'm sure we'll be smiling with all the stories we're about to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. By the time our last episode came out, Tommy Lasorda had passed away, but we didn't know it when we recorded. And in fact, nobody really knew it until a couple hours after our last episode was released. So we've had the weekend to think about Tommy Lasorda and read some of the stories of other people have had. And so, yeah, today we're just going to talk about Tommy.
Dedicated to Tommy Lasorda, who, like I said, passed away on January 7th, age 93. Before we get into all that, just a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. So the news came. Bobby Valentine was the first one who tweeted something. He didn't necessarily say Tommy Lasorda, but he did say Tommy, and there's a connection between them two that, you know, they have a friendship. And then everyone else started to run with it a little bit. Then the Dodgers announced it. And yeah, just not the best start to a Friday morning. And especially coming off, I believe, 2 or 3 days before that is when he had just been released from the hospital after being in the hospital for a little while. He had been released. So it seemed like things were going to be okay for Tommy. Fortunately, they were not. Just right off the bat, it's kind of one of those crazy things where it feels like he was waiting for the Dodgers to win a World Series before he went out. Didn't it feel like that?
Yeah, you know, and he definitely told the team that. And I don't know how much power Tommy Lasorda actually had over death, but it's hard to argue with the fact that let's just say Tommy Lasorda, health-wise, was not necessarily the person you would suspect would live to be 93 and the oldest living Hall of Famer. And so he must have had some special power going on.
You know, with Tommy comes, there's a lot of stories from over the years. I don't think I have any personal stories. I did meet him a couple times, one time in his seat at Dodger Stadium, a couple times just running around in the press box. I was able to have Tommy Lasorda's birthday cake 1 year in the press box. But that's about the extent. Do you have any one-on-ones with Tommy Lasorda or memories? You have more memories of him actually managing. He managed, I believe, until 96, but I was 5 years old at the time, so I don't really have too much recollection of any moments with him specifically that I saw.
Yeah, he became the Dodgers manager a couple months before I was born, and I was an adult when he stopped being the Dodgers manager, and so, yeah, I definitely have a lot of memories of him as the manager. I only actually met him one time, and that was on June 5th, 2017, the night that I got to spend the game in the broadcast booth with Joe and Oral. It happened to be Tommy's first game back at Dodger Stadium after he had been gone for maybe a month or so. He had had some medical issues, and he had been away from the stadium, and so it was his first game back, and he was sitting down there in his normal spot, and at one point I looked down and I saw Oral texting the guy who was sitting with Tommy, saying, and he said, I was close enough I could read Oral's phone. I don't know if I was supposed to be reading Oral's phone, but, you know, I guess it's easier to ask for forgiveness and permission. But he said, tell Tommy to turn and wave to me. And so a minute later, Tommy turned and looked up, and Oral stood up and was blowing kisses to Tommy, and Tommy was blowing kisses back to him. And then later on, an inning or two later, Tommy and the guy he was with came into the booth, and it was in the middle of an inning. I know the Dodgers were up to bat because I remember. So when Tommy and the other guy came into the booth, Oral just got up, took off his headset, and went back to talk to Tommy, and left Joe on his own doing the game. And I remember during that time, There was a ground ball to shortstop that Trey Turner made a nice play on, going to his right and made the play through the guy out of first base. And that was right at the end when Oral came back. And the reason I remember that is because Oral came back right after that, put his headset back on just in time to see the replay. And if you can find the broadcast of that game, hearing Oral describing the replay, you could tell it was the first time he had seen the play, because it was. He had been up talking to Tommy. But so they were talking there in the booth for a couple minutes. And at one point, Boyd Robertson, who is one of the guys who sits behind Joe and Oral in the booth, he grabbed my phone and said, "Say cheese," and he turned it, so he got a picture of me with Tommy and Oral talking to each other in the background. And then the guy who was with Tommy said, "Hey, you want a picture with Tommy?" I said, "Sure." And so Tommy comes over, and you could tell he looked at me, and he's like, "Well, this guy's in the broadcast booth, so I think I'm supposed to know him." So he smiled, "Hey, buddy, how you been?" You know, and as if we were old friends, even though I knew that we had never met, and he didn't remember meeting me, obviously. And so we put our arms around each other and took a picture. And that guy told me he would text me the picture, and he never did, so I don't have that picture. But that's the only time I ever met Tommy Lasorda. He pretended we were best friends because he thought he was supposed to know who I was. And, you know, I thought that was cool that he cared enough to not say, "Who the heck are you?" He just assumed, okay, I'm supposed to know this guy, so I'm going to make this guy think I know him.
Of all the things we've kind of seen, one of them was he did either remember, he had a very good memory, or at the very least, like you said, mentioned or made you feel like he knew you if you were not always in a position. But, you know, even if you had just met him, he may have felt like he knew you. There's a bunch of stories that have come across on social media, not just from the players who had a bunch of heartfelt words to say, but, you know, just people, fans that happen to sit next to him at a spring training game, or happen to talk to him real quick at a game, or wherever it was, chopping it up. Tommy Lasorda was never one to turn down a conversation. I think that's kind of one of the better qualities he had outside of just being the Dodgers manager.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bobby Valentine described Lasorda as probably the most photographed man in history, because people always wanted their picture with Tommy, and he always took his picture with them. And one of his famous quotes is, "Never turn down somebody asking you for an autograph." And that stems back to when he was a kid. There was one of his favorite big leaguers, I don't remember the guy's name, but Tommy was at a game and he asked this guy for the autograph, and the guy blew him off and didn't give him the autograph. And then years later, that guy was on his way down. He was back in the minors. Back then, it used to be pretty common that guys would go to the minors after the big league career, trying to bounce back around. And Tommy was on his way up pitching in the minors. And so he got to pitch against this guy, and he threw at him because he was still mad that the guy had blown him off when he asked for an autograph. And Tommy, after that, said never turn down an autograph request, because he remembered being the kid who got turned down. And I think that's something that is admirable. And you can see that quality in a lot of players and managers and whoever. You can tell the ones who really appreciate what they have and the opportunity they have. And Tommy, you know, for his whole 93 years, never lost that love and kind of awe at, wow, I get to do baseball for a living, and never lost that awe and that childlike wonder, I guess.
Yeah, definitely never lost that. Definitely never lost the love for the Dodgers. We'll come back and continue to talk about Tommy and get into a couple stories. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Are you ready to win some money? We're not going to talk about losing money, because we're not going to do that. We're just going to win money. Are you ready to win money? Well, we have the place that covers that, and the only place we trust. That's betonline.ag. You can bet on pretty much anything, but, you know, the big ones that you might want to bet on right now: football playoffs coming up next weekend again. College football, the big game is today, tonight, if you want to put some bets on that. Basketball season's underway. Baseball season's a little way away. But either way, you can get an account now and be ready when baseball season's here. And you can do that at betonline.ag. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And with your winnings, you can do some purchasing of Built Bars. The new year is here. Built Bar is also here, and you should combine the two if you have a plan or a wish or a resolution this year. Built Bars can basically help you out with whatever you're trying to do. If you're trying to put on weight with muscle, they got all the protein for you. If you're trying to maybe drop some pounds, they provide you with amazing flavor for low calorie, low sugar, and high fiber to help you regulate your body if you need that. So anything you need, the Built Bar is here, and that's the best tasting protein bar on the market. I can say that with assurance. I've had a lot of protein bars. I've never purchased a full box of protein bars until Built Bar, and they deliver on exactly whatever you need. And right now you can use the promo code Locked On for 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. That's promo code Locked On, 20% off builtbar.com. 2021 is here, and it's time for a fresh start and some more dollars in your pocket. If you want to start betting, BetOnline.ag is the place to do it. And where should you get your bets from? The Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, college football, football, NBA, all winter long. Whatever you need, they got it. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Jeff, let's get right back into this Tommy discussion. I want to hand it over to you. There's a lot of standout Tommy moments. There's the Philly Fanatic moment. There's the speech after the 88 World Series. There's even him falling at the All-Star game. There's him leading Team USA to gold. But is there anything that stands out to you that maybe, you know, some of us younger listeners, something that was a little bit more random that we wouldn't think about, but that stood out to you?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but we're so familiar with the phrase Dodger Blue. It's just an accepted thing. That actually started with Tommy Lasorda. Tommy used to always talk about how his blood was Dodger Blue. And he said, "I bleed Dodger Blue, I bleed Dodger Blue." He was saying that for, years when he was coming up through the minors as a manager. I don't know when he started saying it, but it was a Tommy Lasorda thing. And it was actually in 1977, Tommy's first season as the Dodgers manager, that the Dodgers had a PR guy by the name of Fred Clair, who later became their general manager of the World Series champion 1988 team. But in 1977, Fred Clair was a PR guy, and he heard Tommy talking about Dodger Blue, and he decided, let's build a whole campaign around this. And so they actually had a song commissioned, a guy named Dave Frischberg. He was the same guy who had sung the Van Lingle Mungo song. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but Dave Frischberg, they had him write this song called Dodger Blue. And the first time this song was actually unveiled, it was performed on two days after I was born. June 4th, 1977 was the first time this Dodger Blue song came out. It goes, down through the years, the young men came west to play the game in Dodger Blue. Through laughter and tears, the young men came west and rose to fame in Dodger Blue. And it goes through, and then it just starts listing a bunch of guys who had played for the LA Dodgers. And the last one it says, and Juan Marichal was a Dodger too, which I love that. Just a little jab at the Giants that their beloved Juan Marichal had pitched two games as a Dodger. But that all started because Tommy Lasorda always talked about bleeding Dodger Blue. If we remember right, I'll put a link to the YouTube video for this Dodger Blue song. It's a cool little song, and it's fun. It's got a lot of fun Dodger names. But, what we talk about, Dodger Blue, Blue Heaven on Earth, this is all Tommy Lasorda stuff. And there, I can't think of any other manager or anybody associated with any team who had such an impact on the direction of the team. Even Vin Scully, who was with the Dodgers just as long as Tommy Lasorda was, he didn't mold the Dodgers to his own, image, but Tommy Lasorda did. He turned the Dodgers into his vision of what the Dodgers should be, and that's what they still are, and to the point where now we don't even think twice when we hear Dodger Blue. We don't think twice. I mean, the Dodgers don't even wear blue uniforms. There's blue on their uniforms, but it's not like, and it's the same color as the Royals wear. It's literally the same color as the Mets wear, because the Mets stole it from the Dodgers when they became a team. They stole the Dodgers blue and the Giants orange. So it's not even a unique color, but Dodger blue is meaningful. You know, this shirt I'm wearing right now, if you ask me what color is it, well, it's Dodger blue, stupid. You know, there's a fan club named after the Pantone color code for Dodger blue. Dodger blue is a thing because of Tommy Lasorda. And I think that's really cool that this team that he was a part of for seven decades really is him. And that's it's something that I don't think any other team has anything like it.
Yeah, I definitely can't remember that. And he has a lot of contributions to the Dodger Foundation. Dodger blue, you know, a couple World Series, just a lot of big moments. You know, one of the other ones that a lot of people maybe do know, don't know, is that kind of one of the reasons the Dodgers picked Mike Piazza was because Lasorda, I always thought he was Mike Piazza's godfather, but it says that he's the godfather to Mike Piazza's younger brother. They're all from the same hometown in Pennsylvania, but it was kind of a favor to the family to draft Mike Piazza so late, and then it ended up working out for the Dodgers. So, you know, just one of the many contributions that Tommy Lasorda had to the Dodgers, but a kind of a big one, who ended up being a Hall of Fame player, didn't go in as a Dodger, but, you know, did win Rookie of the Year, was a standout player in his time with the Dodgers before, unfortunately, he was traded.
Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, my favorite thing, Tommy was hilarious, and there are so many things. My mom was telling me her favorite memory of 1988 after Kirk Gibson's home run is seeing Tommy running out of the dugout and jumping. But if you look, his feet never leave the ground. It's just like a jumping motion, but he wasn't jumping. but he was just so funny. And one of my favorite ones that I've probably shared this before, I went to here in Utah where I live, the town a couple miles from me until recently was home to the rookie league team for the Angels, the Orem Owls. And probably 10 years ago, Mike Socha came up to a little like a booster club meeting, a fundraiser kind of dinner for the Orem Owls before the season. And a friend of mine was part of the Chamber of Commerce or some crap. And so he invited me to come to this thing because he knew I was a Dodger fan, and Socha was there, and I was a big Socha fan. So we went. Now, after the thing, they did a little question and answer. And so I asked Socha about, I actually asked him if he had ever raced Benji Molina, because Molinas are notoriously slow, and so was Mike Socha. And Socha told the story about when Tommy Lasorda had said if Mike Socha raced his pregnant wife, he'd come in third. And so I've always remembered that, but I've been doing a little research this weekend, and I discovered that Tommy was plagiarizing himself when he said that about Socha, because he said that in 1988, but in 1983 or 82, he had been during the playoffs. Tommy was on the broadcast because the Dodgers were out. They didn't make the postseason, and so during a Braves series, Tommy was one of the color commentators on the broadcast, and he said about Bruce Benedict that he would finish third in a race with a pregnant lady. And Bruce Benedict was the Braves catcher. And so 5 years later, Tommy used that joke about his own catcher, and it probably was more fitting for Socha. I don't think Benedict was, he was slow because he was a catcher, but not as slow as Socha. Nobody was as slow as Socha. I think my dead grandma right now is faster than Socha. But yeah, I love that Tommy plagiarized himself, because what it probably means is that he was probably plagiarizing somebody else when he said it about Bruce Benedict in 1982. It probably wasn't even a Tommy Lasorda original, but he used it about at least two major league catchers.
Yeah, Lasorda was known for having a good time, whether in the dugout, out of the dugout, after coaching, during coaching, all that kind of stuff. So he was definitely a character. We do have one question that came from a listener, and he said, should they treat Tommy's chair, Tommy's seat, where he always sat right behind home plate, like Kirk Gibson's seat, where the money for the ticket goes towards Tommy's favorite charity? I know the Dodgers released a statement from Tommy's daughter naming, I think it was a dog charity, that any, you know, donations or whatever, they wanted it to go toward that. But a good idea. Not sure exactly what the plan is. They did take some pictures with the Dodgers did post some pictures of the Tommy C with some blue and white flowers and his jersey, stuff like that. Not sure, you know, we still don't know if fans are going to be there, but you would imagine they're going to do something with that scene.
Yeah, there's definitely some logistical issues compared to the Kirk Gibson one, because this Tommy seat, it's not it's in the rich people section, but it's in a its own separate section of that where Time of the Sorta didn't go through the same entrance that Mary Hart and Jason Bateman go through. He went through the Dodgers clubhouse. And so, there are a couple things. They could reconfigure that area so that it is part of the regular dugout club with the same entrances, and that way they could sell that seat. Or part of the benefit of selling the seat could be that you get to go through the Dodgers clubhouse to get to and from your seat. But it's one of those things, pretty much anybody, if you wanted to, you could save up and buy tickets for the Kirk Gibson seat. It's expensive, but it's not prohibitively expensive. I think if they tried to do anything with Tommy's seat, it would only be the rich people, and like extremely rich people. And I don't know how much impact that actually has to fans like us. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just retire it, you know, just plate it in gold and make it so it's, you know, nobody sits there anymore. Just retire the seat. That seems to make more sense to me. But, you know, who knows? I definitely think they will spend the next month or two bouncing around a lot of different ideas for ways to honor Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just going through, looking at all the players post that day, Turner, Kershaw, pretty much anyone on the team that has social media posted something about Tommy. Kenley Jansen posted a cool video of Tommy singing along with some mariachi, it looks like, during spring training. The one that's been the most heartfelt so far that we've seen and that we've heard, and kind of makes sense based on the story you told earlier and based on what we know, is Oral Hershiser. Obviously really affected by this. Tommy was kind of, you know, his guy. Tommy was his guy. So, you know, if any of the players or you know, anything else, Jeff, that you got the stories here. You were more of the historian on this show. So I'm going to pass it back to you.
Yeah. I mean, Oral Hershiser, the relationship Tommy has with basically all of his former players, it's so unique. And especially Oral, guys who he won the World Series with, which is, you know, the whole 81 team and the 88 team, there's that bond. Once you've won a World Series with somebody, and we saw it this year when, you know, you see the way that those guys were hugging after the Dodgers won the World Series, those are friendships that are never going to go away. And 50 years from now, Cody Bellinger and Clayton Kershaw are going to be sitting there talking about, remember that time we ugly cried together in front of a camera because we just won the World Series? You know, it's that bond you have. And it's one of those things that baseball is meaningless. It's stupid. It's just a game. But to the guys who play it, who go through these things together, it really is a bonding experience. And, you know, we've all had coworkers who we went through experiences with and we have that bond now, or guys we played beer league softball with or whatever, you know, any experiences you've gone through, whether they are actually meaningful or just artificially meaningful, you develop that bond. And so you saw that with Lasorda and Hershiser. Everybody who played for Tommy probably hated him at times when they were playing for him and love him now. I thought it was funny. I was looking through reading through some Tommy quotes, and, you know, he and Fernando Valenzuela are super close now. Obviously they won two World Series together and loved each other. But some of the things Tommy said about Fernando after 1981 or 82, one of those years when Fernando was basically trying to capitalize on his success and get a little bit more money than he might have otherwise gotten. And two funny quotes. Tommy said, all last year we tried to teach him English. Turns out the only word he learned was million. I thought that was funny. And then somebody asked what Fernando was asking for in the negotiations. He said he wants Texas back. So, you know, I guess that sort of thing, just referring to the fact that Tommy or the Fernando was from Mexico and that was unique back then. And so, yeah, apparently Fernando wanted Texas back in the negotiations for Mexico. He also, Daryl Strawberry played for Tommy and then signed with the Giants as a free agent after being done with the Dodgers. And somebody asked Tommy about that dog, Daryl Strawberry. And Tommy said, he's not a dog. The dog is loyal and runs after balls. So I thought that was a funny description of Daryl Strawberry. Obviously, a little bit, Tommy was a little bit bitter about Daryl's time in LA and his departure. but just so many, like, obviously Tommy had well-known battles with his weight throughout his life. And, one of his funny quotes, he said, when we win, I'm happy, so I eat a lot. When we lose, I'm depressed, so I eat a lot. When we get rained out, I'm so disappointed that I eat a lot. I think I can relate to that. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. And some of the quotes from other people. Jim Murray, who wrote for the LA Times, he said, I never thought you could win a Pulitzer Prize just for quoting Tommy Lasorda correctly. Which is, you know, some of his best quotes were quoted by Jim Murray. Joe Torre said, Tommy will eat anything as long as you're paying for it. And just so much Tommy Lasorda stuff. And we could literally do a year's worth of shows talking about him as a manager, talking about him as his time in Dodger Blue. You know, a lot of people may not know that Tommy Lasorda is the guy the Dodgers sent to the minor leagues to make room on the roster for a bonus baby they had signed in 1955 named Sandy Koufax. And Tommy used to joke that it took a guy as good as Koufax to bump Tommy off the roster. And, he was teammates with, guys and managed basically every guy who came up through the Dodger system in the 60s and 70s. Tommy Lasorda managed them at some point in the minor leagues. And so that's why when he became the major league manager, most of these guys, Garvey and Say and Lopes and Russell, they had all played for Tommy in the minor leagues. And, the guys after that first wave, Steve Sachs and those guys, their first manager in the big leagues was Tommy Lasorda. And so the impact and the fingerprint that he had on so many baseball lives and so many fans' lives is something that, it's easy to overstate things when somebody dies. But when it comes to Tommy Lasorda, there's no overstating. His impact on the Dodgers was bigger and on Dodger fans was bigger than any player or manager has ever had on a team.
Hard to disagree with that. I think I'm looking through some quotes and there's a few that kind of tie in directly with how we are as fans and how we kind of, handle the seasons on this podcast. And these are attributed to him, and he knows where he got them from, if he did get them from somewhere. But so no matter how good you are, you're going to lose 1/3 of your games. No matter how bad you are, you're going to win 1/3 of your games. It's the other third that makes a difference. And we've always kind of preached that when there's bad losses during the regular season, like, hey, it's a long season, unless they come in September and there's a tight race going on. But either way, it goes about that. And then this one really resonates, is the best possible thing in baseball is winning the World Series. The second best thing is losing the World Series. And he understood that, directly. The Dodgers lost the first two World Series that Lasorda managed. And that kind of came up a little bit after the Dodgers lost in 2017, 2018 with Roberts and kind of sticking with it or whatever it was. It ended up working out for Lasorda. They won in 81. Dodgers won in 2020, both shortened seasons to a certain extent. So the parallels are getting a little weird. And, Roberts, I don't know if he'll ever be what Tommy is, but so far the beginnings of their careers are similar, at least as Dodger manager. Obviously, Tommy had a much longer thing in the Dodgers organization, but Roberts also in the Dodger organization. So just little things like that he understood. He just loved baseball and he understood it. And, he didn't. Obviously, he'd get mad. Obviously, he'd get really happy. But, he was always there every day, watching random spring training games in 100-degree heat in Arizona, even when he was older. Or always there, every night at the Dodger Stadium, watching the games and talking with fans when he can, whatever it was. You could just tell he loved baseball and he loved being at the stadium. And I think that's something we all strive to want to be sometimes, just being involved in baseball all the time and just watching Dodger baseball. Like that, having Dodger baseball your life is pretty much maybe not a goal for a lot of people, but something that we wouldn't mind.
Yeah. And maybe my last quote from him that I think is a good one to close on. He said, I love doubleheaders. That way I get to keep my uniform on longer. And that kind of sums up Tommy Lasorda, that, it wasn't just doubleheaders and keeping the uniform on. Even after he took the uniform off, it's been, 25 years almost since he took the uniform off, but he kept that Dodger blue on. And he, he found a way. It wasn't the uniform, but he was still putting on his Dodgers polo every night and coming down to the stadium. And he found a way until he was 93 years old to get to be a Dodger every single day. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, all of us who grew up Dodger fans, that we can only dream of. And so the life that he lived, obviously it wasn't perfect. He, you know, he outlived a son. Nobody should ever have to bury one of their children. And that, you know, he's had a lot of trials in his life, but he lived to be 93 and he got to do what he loved right up until the very end. And he got to the last baseball game he ever saw. He was there in person watching the Dodgers win the World Series. And so, you know, that Oral was saying that they kept trying to keep Tommy alive long enough to throw out the first pitch on opening day. But maybe this is perfect, you know, an opening day game. That's not the last game for Tommy to see. The last game he saw was the Dodgers winning the World Series. And that's as perfect as it could be. And he got to keep the uniform on for longer than most people get to live. And so obviously it's sad for us that he's gone. But what a life and what a man for us Dodger fans.
Yeah, and he'll still be there opening day in the form of, you know, memories. And I'm sure the Dodgers will have a commemorative patch. So, you know, he'll... Like you said, I think it kind of worked out the way his last game ever will be a World Series win. So I'll take that. Thank you, Tom Lasorda, for everything you did for the Dodgers. And, you know, we'll miss you, but we'll have plenty of stories and things that will come out in the next few months or next couple weeks that people, you know, more stories will come out and everything else. And we'll have more than enough to last us a lifetime.
Absolutely.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow with a guest, and it'll be Zach Rex, who was put on the Dodgers 40-man roster this offseason. We'll be talking to him about last season, this upcoming season, you know, his baseball life, his life in general. You know how we do the interview, so it might be spread out over the next couple days depending how long we go. So make sure to come back for that. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to listen every day, as we mentioned. Listen the next few days for the interview. Listen every day regardless of that, because we are here to talk about Dodgers. And every day that you listen is another day closer to the season starting again and the Dodgers defending that title. So looking forward to that. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning. And we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!